Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We are here in Florida today in Orlando as part of our week of election specials ahead of the midterms. And one of the reasons we decided to come to Florida, which does not have a Senate race this time around, is because this state has become more important than almost any other state in national politics. As Florida goes, so goes the nation. At least that is the way it's been in presidential elections since 1996.
And this year, there's a tight governor's race.
I guess I should introduce you, Peter. That is Peter O'Dowd, who has been reporting along with me here in Florida. And yes, there is a tight governor's race between the Republican governor, Rick Scott, and the Democrat, Charlie Crist.
Well, he's a Democrat now.
Yes.
He used to be a Republican governor, just like his opponent. But either way, they are neck and neck.
A survey by Public Policy Polling shows Republican Scott and Republican-turned-Democrat Crist tied at 42% each.
That general election campaign expected to be one of the nastiest, and most expensive in recent history.
A new poll shows that voters don't like either one of the two big-name candidates, Governor Rick Scott or Charlie Crist.
This should be no surprise here in Florida, where close races and bruising politics have become as common as, I don't know, senior drivers who forget to turn off their left turn signals?
Or scantily clad sunbathers on South Beach.
Well, that kind of makes it more difficult for me to segue to the 2000 election.
A big call to make. CNN announces that we call Florida in the Al Gore column. This is a state both campaigns desperately wanted to win.
Stand by. CNN right now is moving our earlier declaration of Florida back to the too close to call column.
Ah.
25 very big electoral votes in the home state of the governor's brother, Jeb Bush, are hanging in the balance.
On election night 2000, this state confounded TV journalists who nearly crowned Al Gore the 43rd president of the United States.
Look at this in Florida. Here we are, 99% of the vote in. We have projected it, obviously, for George W. Bush. Good grief. Look at that.
11. That means automatic recount.
Yeah, 11,000 votes. It's less than a half a point.
Peter, do you remember where you were on election night in 2000?
I do. I was in my apartment in my sophomore year of college.
In Washington, D.C. And I was actually in Washington, D.C. as well, at NPR's election headquarters, calling Florida precincts that night to try to find out what was going on. Susan, where were you, and did it surprise you that it was so close?
I was in the local NBC station because I've been their analyst for a long while now.
This is Susan McManus. She's a political scientist at the University of South Florida in Tampa.
I went home about 2:30 to try and get a couple hours because I always do the morning shows the morning after. And I no sooner had laid my head on the pillow when I got a call from a journalist in Japan asking what is going on in Florida. So I went 30-some hours without sleep, and none of us want to relive it, I can assure you.
But do you think you will? Is Florida still so close that you could relive that in the next presidential election?
That's always the concern, and there's no group of people or public officials in our state that have more anxieties these days than the 67 county supervisors of elections who live in fear of a revisitation of 2000 when there were CNN trucks parked in their front yard. No one expects that it'll be that close, but yet no one would be surprised if it were.
In fact, the 2010 governor's race was the closest one in state history. 1.2% separated the candidates.
And the margin even narrowed further in 2012 when President Obama won Florida by less than 1%. But it did go for the winner, and it has in the last five presidential elections.
Part of the reason for Florida being the microcosm is we're seeing people moving in to Florida from other parts of the United States, as well as from foreign countries. So we have a really good mix of all kinds of people from all over the country right here in our state.
She's talking about conservative voters from the Midwest, then you've got liberal voters from the Northeast.
And a whole lot of people from Venezuela and Colombia and Cuba and other parts of Latin America. We met Leo Aragon in Miami. He was born in Nicaragua.
It's a mind-boggling thing. Florida is a state
that I could, like myself being a Democrat, could easily vote Republican next election. According to the way the representative of the Republican Party portrays, you know, the way he lays out his agenda, the way he talks, the way he defends the party, that's got to do with a lot with being elected in this state.
And further north, up in Orlando, we heard from a guy named Jason Acuna. He says he's totally happy with the way Republicans are talking to him. Acuna's a 39-year-old Republican who plans to vote for Governor Scott.
Obamacare is worthless, you know, and definitely education, instead of sending money to these other countries that I think should reinvest in our country and reinvest in our education, which, you know, we're giving millions of dollars, you know, or even locally giving millions of dollars in tax breaks to these oil companies when we can use that money for education. I mean, this, the government's waste, it's just our whole government is, I think, corrupt now. But of the lesser evils, at least let's get the Congress back into being Republican. Or if there's someone better comes along, that'd be great. But as a whole, I think we're not doing good right now.
And then you've got the next generation. Susan McManus says millennials have moved away from the major parties, and now they're thinking about ideas. That's what they care about.
In fact, she said she invited the Libertarian candidate for governor into the classroom for a chat. His name is Adrian Wiley.
As soon as he announced himself and gave a little pitch, probably 20 of the 48 or 50 rushed over to get their selfie photos with this gentleman.
Mm. Say cheese, Mr. Wiley.
His message, the Libertarian message, really resonates with the millennials. So that's the really, I think, the key to what's going to happen in Florida.
And there are a lot of young people in Florida. McManus says half of the registered voters here are under 50.
Really, half of them? Because what about all those senior citizens with their left turn signals?
Jeremy, that's a stereotype. This is not your grandmother's Florida anymore. But it doesn't mean that these young voters actually vote. Hmm. And it's not helping that they're being bombarded with all these negative advertisements on TV.
A lot of it is this nonstop back-to-back ads that cancel each other out, where people are bashing each other and no one is offering solutions to a lot of casual voters who really would just like to hear somebody say something about what can you do to make my life better in terms of a job or healthcare or whatever it is. They're just not hearing that.
So not only are Floridians divided, they're also uninterested. Just 18% of Florida voters went to a poll in the primary.
That is 18%, by the way, out of 11.8 million registered voters in Florida. Here and Now is Peter O'Dowd, along with me in Orlando. You're listening to Here and Now.